Hei, hei, hei.
Yes, hei, 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 Mikael. I'm Daria.
Hey, Daria.
Hey, and welcome to TrueMetal.it. How are you today?
I am very, very good today.
Oh,
the weather is beautiful here in Milan, and drinking a good Belgian beer, and yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, then it sounds perfect to me.
Yes, yeah, it doesn't get much better.
Okay, great. Listen, let's start right away. In 1999, the album Projector was like a watershed for the career of Dark Tranquillity, with the addition of a new element, keyboards. Do you think it's possible that in the future you will represent again a new element, or have you found your sound already?
Ooh, I think the keyboard element is something that we always kind of wanted, and there's little bits and pieces here and there throughout, like the first album.
Yeah, yeah.
So before the Projector album, we asked like Martin Remsen, like, "Yeah, you should join us. Like, you know, you're a good guy. You know, he was a good friend of ours and a good drinking buddy and a good keyboard player." Like,
yeah,
but he's like, "Ah, I don't know." and we asked him to help out, you know, on some songs, but nah, it didn't work out. And then after the Projector album, he heard it, and then he realized, hey, this is actually, there's room for my instrument in this kind of music. So then he decided to join after he heard that. But I don't know. I think when I see other bands using, like, you know, new interesting instruments, stuff like that, I don't really get it. Like, I think I love, like, classical, like a classic lineup. I think keyboard adds a lot for us, and it's always, it kind of ties in with our fascination for electronic music as well as metal. So for us, it's something that we always wanted. It's always been a part of our sound, even before we had a steady guy doing it, you know.
So
I don't know, like, it kind of would be trying a little bit too hard. We found, like, a new element or a new instrument, you know, and I don't think
we need it. So we can consider that you have found your sound, and for the moment that you are content to it, I mean.
I absolutely think so, yes.
Last year you published Zero Distance only for the digital market. Do you think this could be the future of music? I mean, to release only digitally and not anymore physically?
At least for a while, I think it's going to be like that. I don't know if it's just yet, or, you know, if it's going to be, there are definitely bands who are doing it already.
Yeah.
And that's fine, you know. I buy a lot of music digitally, and I use, you know, all the, you know, Spotify and stuff like that. Mm. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's still this old school guy in me that wants to buy albums and vinyl and that, so that's what I do as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think people are ready to go full on digital just yet, but I definitely think, like, in the near future, that's what it's going to be. Like, then who knows? Then another format will come, or another way of distributing music will come.
Yes,
but
for
now, I think this is what's going to happen. And I want it to be so simple that it kind of phases out piracy. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be so easy that there's no need to download illegally anymore,
that's the problem nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really sad to see that, and a lot of people don't really know how to buy records anymore. They're just growing up on illegally downloading, and that's not cool. But you know, if there's a way that it's so easy that kind of it's easier than downloading, awesome. You know, I hope that's going to happen. I think Spotify is getting there. You know.
Yeah, and the main point is to support the band. Therefore, the illegal downloads should be really, I mean, there should be a way to stop them, because otherwise it's not right. I mean, it's not
No. Then for a lot of people, like, they have this excuse that, you know, hey, the band makes a lot of money on tour, and you know, and it's not difficult, just music, it's just ones and zeros. Like, no, man, you know, like, costs a lot to produce an album and
yeah,
all that
I
stuff.
think if it were so that you earn so much money during the tours, you will give as gift the albums. But unfortunately,
yeah.
It's not that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, talking about your voice, how do you maintain your growl so powerful at a distance of more than 20 years? As for some other growlers, when the years pass, they cannot hold any more the rhythms or the tones. But you don't seem to miss any note, anything.
I don't know.
What is your secret?
The secret is plenty of beer. No, I don't. For me, I've had problems over the years, back and forth. Like sometimes it's been kind of tough to maintain it, especially on longer tours and stuff like that. But I think I found a really good way of just making sure I warm up every day on a tour and before every rehearsal, just warming voice up to and make sure that I don't overdo it, because that's normally what you do. You get a little bit drunk during the end of the set or stuff like that, and you try a little bit too hard, and then you wake up in the morning without a voice at all, you know. And that has happened so many times that I just don't want that anymore. And now the last 6-7 years or something like that, it's been great, you know. I never had to worry about it. I just make sure that I always do my warm-up routine in the morning and before the show, and I'm fine, you know. So I'm really happy. I think that's the secret, is just keeping it and actually doing warm-up. You know, the first couple of years I didn't care about that at all. So I said, hey, it's gonna work, but I'm not like 22 anymore, so
the time passed. But anyhow, it's important to find your own way to maintain it. Great. As I haven't yet been able to listen to the Construct album, that's too bad. But I'm looking forward to it. What can we expect with respect to We Are the Void? I mean, what are the differences, or technically what we can expect to find in the album?
For me, there's a lot of differences. I think, like, we figured, like, after Character Fiction and We're the Void, like, there was no way to kind of continue on that trajectory, you know. Like, how do we expand even more on that sound? So rather than kind of going ahead with the same kind of ideas, the same kind of things, we did this, at least in my mind, like a lateral move, where we just took it kind of like a sidestep and focused on other things. So this album is more melody driven, I think. It's not as like, hey, look at me, I'm riffing hard and doing this weird thing. Like, it's all about the song, it's all about the melody and the emotion, and so it's a different focus, you know, even though that sounds like vague, but yeah, for me that's what I hear. Like, it's the songs are very straight to a point, you know. What's the most important part of the song? Why are we doing this? Like, what's the highlight of a song? What's the driving force behind the song? Those were the things that we talked about while we were writing. Like, how do we make sure that this comes across? And like, how do we make sure that this melody really, really pays off or works well and stuff like that? So it was a different writing method, because we were in the studio recording demos and stuff like that, instead of being in the rehearsal room, kind of going back and forth on every single note. That made us have like a different perspective, I think, on the music and everything. Like, just to actually sit back and listen rather than play it, you know. And I think that really helped. So there's definitely a much darker side to, or there's like a darker feel to most of the songs, and the production, I think, is the best we've ever had. Like, Jens Bogren, who mixed this, like, really, really did a fantastic, incredible job. So I couldn't be happy with it.
Well, you already answered to one of my my following questions, but staying still in the studio, please tell me more about it. I mean, how long time you spent there, and how was it in generally? You slept there, or you had also the private life during the recordings?
It's since Martin Brenström, our keyboard player, he has his own studio, and it's really close to where we all live, so it's awesome. You know?
Okay, great.
And so we decided to start writing there instead of the rehearsal room. So, but we didn't want everyone to be there all the time. So just Anders, Niklas, and Martin started, like, just the three of them just putting together ideas. And just bouncing things back and forth and, like, just trying things, like, just simple, like, simple foundations of songs, you know, in the beginning. And just kind of built on it, you know.
So
I think we spent, like, 5-6 months doing that. You know, and by the end it was really this almost kind of like a day job thing, you know, where they went up early in the morning, like at 8 o'clock, and, you know, we're going to be in the studio at 9, and then we worked till 4, you know, that kind of thing, which was really cool, you know, and then we finished it before Christmas. I think we were kind of done with all the songs, and we had these demos that were now really, really kind of elaborate. And then we used that as a blueprint when we came back after, like, the New Year's and stuff like that to start actually recording. So we used that demo as the real deal. And then I recorded vocals on top of the demo and drums, you know, on top of the demo and the guitars on top of the demo. And then we just kind of took that demo out, and what was left was all this new recordings that sounded so much better, you know. And
Maybe that way you feel also more relaxed. I mean, knowing that you have to do it in a certain time, the deadline is there. So
we had a deadline, but it was kind of cool, you know. And we're very like organized when it comes to that kind of stuff, and everybody's very, very motivated. And so we knew that we're gonna finish it, but we did work really hard, and it's. We didn't sleep in the studio, but it was pretty close. Like, we worked endless hours, especially Modern B and Niklas. They were there so much, and there's no air, and it was cold as fuck, you know, and you really become this creature after a while. You're not a full man anymore, you know. Everything you do is just record and scream and play guitar and do keyboard stuff or whatever. And it's kind of scary how drained you can be creatively after a while. Like, we knew that we had a good thing. We knew the blueprint was there, so we can just do that, and it's going to be fine. But at the same time, you're trying so hard, and you're working so hard to kind of make sure that this is the best you possibly can make right now. And it's so draining that once we thought that we were done, we just couldn't listen to it properly.
Yeah,
we couldn't kind of make any decisions anymore. We were just...
Yeah.
I don't care, just get it done, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking that you must be so in to the songs that you have to have a break before you re-listen and you take them, you know,
listen
them again. So that's for sure. By the way, why did you choose Construct to title this album, as it's not a song?
It is part of a song that didn't make it on the album initially, but it's... For me, like, a construct is like a creation of thought, you know. It's the stuff that you make up when you cannot make sense of the world around you. Like, it's this excuse that you go to instead of care.
Yes.
The ultimate concept, of course.
Great. And by the way, what is or are your favorite songs from the album?
Now for me, I think, like, the one of the songs that came out so differently from what we expected was Uniformity.
Yes.
And it started out as a, I don't know, like a kind of heavy song, but very different and dark.
Yes.
And then it changed so much in the studio. Like, we were experimenting, so we came up with something that became really cool. And it's the opposite of a video track. But today we're going to release it as a video in a couple of hours.
And it seems to be also the longest song from the album, 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, which is stupid for a video track or a radio song. And it has a drum solo in it. You know, it's just ridiculous. But it kind of, I don't know, we were like, fuck it, it's a good song. That's what I'm really happy with.
Okay, so that's your choice. Great. And what can you tell me about the cover artwork? What's the story behind it?
It was kind of actually, like, we didn't have the album title yet, and Niklas said, he was so overworked and drained and so tired of everything that he said to me, like, there's no way out. I'm going to be able to make, like, do the cover art with this time around. I don't have it in me. I don't have the energy. I don't have the anything. Don't make me do it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, of course. Hey, cool, fine. We'll find someone else, you know. And I started looking for other artists, you know, and I found some really cool ones, you know, and I figured, like, this is going to be cool. But then once I decided on the title, I told Nicholas, like, what do you think about Construct? What do you think of it? Like, do you think that's going to work?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you know, and we talked about it a little bit, and he was inspired.
Yeah.
So then the following morning, I woke up, Nicholas had emailed me, and it was like, oh, you know how I said I wasn't doing the cover, and I didn't want to, and I didn't have any inspiration, but anyway, I couldn't sleep, and here it is.
Yeah, great.
We worked so hard, like, all night, just, like, blind, you know, tired, but inspired.
Yeah, so that confirms the fact that you chose the right album title.
I guess so, yeah.
Great. Listen, the album will come out on May 27th, and quite soon after you'll start your summer festival season. Will you play your all-time hits or mainly the new songs from this album?
Oh, we haven't really decided yet, but we started playing. We did three shows last weekend, and we played two new songs.
Yeah.
And that went over really well. So I think we're going to do a couple at least, like two or three.
Yes.
Or perhaps.
Like a teaser.
Yeah. Exactly. And then go all out once the tour starts in September.
Ah, okay. You have already, because I was going to ask if you are going to make a headliner tour in autumn. So September, you said it started.
Yeah, we start in America in September. Then we're going to be in Europe in I think early November, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay.
So we're going to announce all that pretty soon.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. So
okay. Great.
Wait.
Great to know. And talking about your personal influences, what bands you are listening the most in recent times?
Ooh, it could be anything, but I think lately, the last couple, like last year or two, I think I've been getting more and more into instrumental music, instrumental doom and instrumental psychedelic music. So that inspires me a lot, or just, you know, I love listening to that, just because sometimes perhaps a occupational hazard, but I get frustrated with singers sometimes and vocals in general, and I go, like, I just want to listen to something that is instrumental, you know.
Okay.
So bands like Animosus Leaders and Maybe She Will and Electric Moon, stuff like that, I really love, like, anything weird and psychedelic, doomy and druggy, you know. I'm really like Austrian Tentacle, stuff like that. I've really, really been into it.
Oh, great. Let's talk about Daniel Andonsson left the band recently. Can you already reveal me the name of the replacement, or if it's not possible, please tell me what kind of bass player you are looking for, what talents he or she must have?
Well, we haven't decided on anyone yet.
Okay.
But the only thing that we have decided is that we don't want a permanent member right now. Like, it's too big of a... And we feel like, this is... Let's take it slow, you know. We're not going to rush into anything. So the plan is to use session members for festivals and tours. You know, we have a lot of friends who are fantastic players. So perhaps we'll use different people for different tours, or we're going to find someone that is awesome and that we can work with all the time. But we just did like three shows that we didn't have a bass player at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just pre-recorded bass, which is weird.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, we could do that if we in a panic, you know.
Yeah.
But we have a few options about really, really cool dudes that are willing to join us. So
okay.
I look forward to that, actually.
Okay.
Cool with me, fresh blood.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the announcement then. Listen, you mentioned already something about the tour in Europe, but it seems that generally you do more shows in other countries than in Italy. Why is that?
I think there's only, you can only do like two, three, perhaps four shows a year in Italy, right?
Yeah.
And we normally do, and it's great, and we love it here, you know.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But like Germany, for instance, you can play way more because it's of the bigger country, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, America would play a lot, and but I think we play equal amounts of times in Italy as we do in Sweden. So for me, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
it's only rare that we go south of Rome, you know. We do
a
festival twice there, but other than that, it's mainly Rome and Milan, you know, outside of the festival season.
Yeah. Then one question, let's say a personal question. One of my favorite songs is Away, Delight, Away, from the album
Ooh.
Chaos and Eternal Night. Do we have a chance to hear it still in your live shows?
Ooh, I would like that. That's a song that sometimes comes up. You know, people go like, "Oh, why don't you play that?" And I agree. I think it. I love that song, and it would be kind of cool. But it's very obscure, you know.
Yeah.
Which I like as well. But I don't know. We've been starting talking about what new old songs that we want to do, and we haven't really quite figured it out. But I'll put that on the list of potential songs.
Please do.
Yeah.
It would be very nice to hear it again.
Yes.
Listen, we are almost at the end, but before the last question, do you feel to give me your tribute to the sad news that we had last week about the pass of Jeff Hanneman?
Oh, yes. It's such a sad thing. Like, I was like, not only like he was kind of estranged from the band for a while, you know, and like probably just felt really, really miserable in that last period of his life. And that must have been horrible. Like, such a fantastic dude with such amazing talent, you know, responsible for some of the most important Clash songs of all time that have influenced the world of metal, you know. And that's how you end up. Like, that's the saddest thing in the world to me. Like, it's just horrible. But anyway, I don't know. I've seen Slayer so many times, and they're like constantly good, or so amazing. And I mean, I remember buying Rain Your Blood like a couple of weeks after it came out, because everybody started raving about it. My friends were like, "Oh, fuck yeah, don't get it," you know. And I was 17 or something like that, and it's like, all right, and it changed my life, you know. And it's like, I was fucking devastated to hear like that. Something like that happened. Just, it makes you think, like,
better
you take care of yourself and take care of help your life and make sure that nothing bad would ever happen to anyone that you love or that you know, and you're, you know, you and take care of each other. Like, if something like that happens to a bandmate or a friend, you know, you take care of them.
I mean, it really touched, I think, the whole metal world.
For sure. Like, and we did a show in Tunisia and in Istanbul and Bucharest the other week, and just as it happened, and we were like, fuck, this is going to be weird standing on stage. Like, he died today, man. Like, and, you know, when we were blasting Slayer, you know, before and after the show, like, out in the PA and stuff like that, it's just so, like, it's too weird. It's sort of hard to kind of take in, like, hard to get it.
Hard to accept. It's hard to accept.
That's the word. Actually,
if it's life, I mean. But when it happens, it's really, in this case, really, really hard to accept and believe.
Sure.
Listen, Mikael, I know that you must have other interviews as well. And before your beer gets too warm. So now the last question. What are your greetings to your fans and to our TrueMetal.it readers?
As people who know us knows this is by far our favorite country to come play in, and our favorite audience, and we cannot wait to come here, and we cannot wait to play this new album for you, and we're so excited about this new stuff that we have planned for you this year, and I just hope to see everybody, and I hope you'll enjoy the album as much as we enjoy it, and we'll see you all soon.
And I hope to hear it as soon as possible. I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
And of course, I hope to see you on stage here in Italy. And of course, all the best for this waiting time to the release and for the summer season and everything. So take care. And I thank you very much, Mikael. It was a nice chat.
Yeah, keep it.
Okay, keep it. Okay, skål. Ha det bra, hej så länge. Okej?
Det ska jag göra.
Okej, tack. Hej då. Hej.